Well, welcome to the abbreviated After Hours with me, Rick Kogan, but I am thrilled to have in studio because we've been talking, we spent the last 10 minutes talking about Mike Rico's famous Rib Fest, and if Stephen Evans Jordan decides to write a second novel, I think it should be about the Rib Fest. Stephen, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
It's flattered. My pleasure. It's my pleasure. We have a lot of mutual friends.
Yeah, we do.
We should name the two Irish mafiosi.
Pat Hickey and Mike Houlihan.
Mike Houlihan.
And a cast of other people I haven't met yet. But.
Watch yourself. That's all I can say. Stephen, your first novel, Tatiana and the Russian Wolves, is, to my mind, I read it last week, remarkably ambitious, but also incredibly successful. What is your background as a writer? You have a lengthy background as a financier.
Banker, yeah. And you spend a lot of time writing as a banker, and primarily credit reports, loan proposals.
Yeah.
And I found the best way to do those is get to the point as quickly as you possibly can and say, look, here's the deal. Boom, pa-boom. Here's the money's going to be used for this. Here's how we're going to get repaid. Now we can start doing the background. It's been around since 1863 and that. The other stuff was I read a lot, and years ago, when I was in high school, I started noticing the various styles and how quickly can you get through a book.
Who are some of your favorite early writers?
Evelyn Waugh, I loved him. His early stuff was black humor and quite funny. And then the other one was Elmore Leonard, who, God, they're funny.
Boy, that is so, I have rarely heard those two fellows
in the same
sentence as influences. Evelyn Waugh and Elmore Leonard. You have great taste, let me tell you that.
Well, my first draft was...
What compelled you to even do a first draft?
I was in Tanzania working with a central bank on some debt issues they had. And free time in the third world hangs heavy. I mean, it was sort of... The movies were in Swahili, the TVs, if they had them, they had Koran reading contests... this and that, or going to the English club and seeing how much warm beer you could drink in a night.
That
gets tedious.
Sure.
And I had an idea for this, not this book that you're holding, but, I mean, an idea about Russia. I've been fascinated with Russia since I was a boy.
Why?
I saw a movie in 1953, I think it was called Tatiana, and it was with Ingrid Bergman as Tatiana, as Anastasia. And Yul Brynner as sort of this Cossack thing. And it was an amazing movie, and I was watching this, and I started reading an awful lot about it, and, her in particular. And I was a history major in college, and I took a lot of Russian history and then took this called The Russian Novel. And I remember I was not, it was sort of off my food.
Well, Russian history, being half Russian, I can say this knowing a little bit, Russian history itself can be pretty depressing.
It is, but I was reading Dostoevsky about one a week.
Oh,
and,
God,
and it was winter quarter.
Uh-huh.
And winter quarter, in Palo Alto, California isn't all that bad. It's just a little dark. And I kept reading these things, and I finally went over to see the student health center, and they put me...
said, help me!
Yeah, I said, I'm just, anything wrong? And I was talking to a psychologist, and I said, no, deaths, no, breakup girlfriends, nope. And he said, what are you taking? And so I told him the courses, and I said, there's one called The Russian Novel. He said...
Don't do that.
I told him...
Don't reschedule
that for this summer, or maybe the spring, something else like that. Because inevitably, for the 5 years I've been here, somebody like you comes over about once every year and goes... Why am I so depressed? And it's because of the stuff you're reading.
So that came back. I mean, so you're in Tanzania thinking to yourself, wait a minute, I'm going to use my knowledge of Russia to craft a novel. That's a tough thing. Writing a novel is a tough thing.
Hmm.
It is a very difficult thing. Did it go smoothly from the outset? I can't imagine.
It didn't. Going back to Elmore Leonard and Evelyn Waugh, the first draft was sort of like a head-on collision between Brideshead Revisited and Get Shorty. It was just...
I would have liked to have read that.
Too. I should have kept it. I tossed it, but, I sent it to Monty Python or something, but it was just, Steve, this is ridiculous. I mean, we've got it, And it took about 20 years to do that. I spent a lot of time in drawers, and then coming back and doing a critical read on it, getting rid of the banking minutiae. understanding the Russians, and then also what happened to... There are two very good books. One is called The Other Russias. Other Russians. It was by emigres who had left after the revolution. And another one was called The Russian Fascists, which were primarily emigres who really hated communism.
But so you tossed that stuff in a drawer, but it stayed with you for a number of years. Would you get it out and revise? I mean, it obviously was not on your mind 24 hours a day. You had a job.
But no, it was just, you know, bus rides, airplane trips, stuff like that. Just started thinking about it and going, no. And what I started to do consciously was make it into a relatively small world that was spinning fairly quickly with a limited number of characters, unlike Russian novels. That, and make it as tight as you possibly could, as I possibly could. And then, you know, what is the primary motivation for the people, the major characters in the book?
You're right. There are not a lot of major characters, and you can really keep focused in this. But in many ways, this is a book about a mother and a son.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'm going to read, if you don't mind. The last graph of your prologue really grabbed me. Had it not, I never would have gone on to all these preceding chapters. But you write, this again is from Stephen Evans Jordan's new novel. His first novel, Tatiana and the Russian Wolves. Russian Wolves meaning?
Meaning people that are depressed or deal with depression often name it. Winston Churchill called his the black dog that would show up, and she called him the Russian Wolves.
Yeah, it's a fascinating term. You write, memories of my mother often take me back to the garden behind our home in Berkeley, where we took afternoon tea and considered my Americanization. Her advice was simple. Do what you have to do. She was preoccupied. My adjustments impeded our wanderings. We were travelers. Art books and museums were departure gates. Her incredible imagination allowed her to walk into paintings, explore the settings, and talk to the subjects. When I was a boy, I followed her. But after she died, I put away such make-believe. That's a very, very polished paragraph.
Thank you.
You know that. I spent a lot of time on it. Yeah. But he doesn't, the protagonist of the book, doesn't stop communing with his mom, does he?
No, he doesn't. And he sees her, he dreams of her an awful lot, which more or less cracks open the code later on. And he's terrified of the insanity that took her. She committed suicide. If that was stalking him as well.
Yeah.
And so he went out and said, oh, let's see, an artist or a banker? Well, a banker will get rid of all those influences, and it did there for a while.
Well, his life is broken apart early on in the book by what?
He was in Russia at the behest of the Soviet government on a pipeline that now exists between Russia and Western Europe. They wanted hard currency financing for it. And he runs into a retired Russian secret police general who tells him, he knew this, but that he tries to blackmail him, that his father, his paternal grandfather and his maternal uncle returned with the Nazis and worked for them.
Yeah.
And then also that his mother worked for Tatiana herself, spent her time in World War II alone in Paris, and she had worked at first with one of the big Paris galleries. And those things became just pirates in terms of the art collections that were coming at them, and so that they, primarily Jewish in many cases, so that they could have the cash or they could somehow negotiate their way out. And so that's where he starts deciding, or has decided, to start, let's untangle my mother's background, because I think some people know about it, and they do, and I want to get that in the bottom. But then when he's doing that, his life starts unraveling.
Yeah, it's a fascinating, fascinating story. It is in some part mystery, in some part thriller, I believe. And in some part, in the grand tradition of great Russian family sagas, a family saga. We got to take a short little break, and I'll continue on with Stephen Evans Jordan, who this week, we will tell you precisely when, will be at the lovely Oak Park Library, a visit arranged by Debbie Prizer, who gets huge, wonderful crowds out to hear authors. You going to read from the book out there?
I was going to read the first and second paragraphs.
Why don't you just take this show and you can...
just record it.
Just take my recording of it. I'll tell you, before we take a break, Chicago Knows Best, right? Hit up Facebook and tell Chicago's Best TV where you like to eat. Watch Chicago's Best, stupidest commercial ever, Sundays at 10. You can't be doing that because you're listening to this. Your pick may be Chicago's Best. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I have not enough time, never enough time. I've got 8 more minutes with Stephen Evans Jordan, the author of a wonderful novel, Tatiana and the Russian Wolves. It is about Tatiana has been gone for 20 years, roughly, when the story begins, and her son goes about unraveling her life, in essence, right?
Yeah.
People love this book, in addition to me, Jim Lehrer, who I know and greatly admire. He was the former news anchor of the PBS NewsHour. He had to say about this book, "There is for me a first test of any novel. Do I want to turn the next page and keep reading it? After reading the first 83 pages of Tatiana and the Russian Wolves, I can say Stephen Evans Jordan knows how to write and how to tell a story." Kirkus Review has also raved about it. One of the problems these days, Stephen, as you're running into, Stephen and his lovely, lovely wife, who has part of the dedication in here, Susan, who've been married for almost 50 years and have lived in Elmhurst for 20-some of those years, right?
12, I think.
12?
Yeah, we moved from Oak Park to Elmhurst.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Western suburbs.
I'm
a city kid. It's the western suburbs. He will be at the Oak Park Library. What night are you there? Thursday, Wednesday. I'm looking it up. I am...
Saturday the...
Next Saturday.
29th.
Saturday the 29th of... yes, indeed.
27th. Sorry.
Wait, you have private things going. What are these private things you're doing out there? You don't have to tell me. But
no, at homes, people are hosting gatherings for their friends, and I see the pitch there.
You have a lot of events. He also has a fine website where you can get all sorts of information. And your book trailer is wonderful.
Thank you.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, she read it.
You did a lovely job, Susan, reading that thing. You find the images, too?
Yeah.
And the book trailer, if my endorsement isn't hooking you, then the book trailer should hook you. The 1-2 punch of Kogan and Susan Jordan's book trailer will absolutely hook you. It must have been an unbelievably empowering thing for you to finish this book. Do you remember? You seem to me to be a guy who does a lot of revising.
I do a lot of revising. I put it down and said, we're getting close to the whole thing. I mean, it's done. Now it's going back and tightening things up a lot. And what I've tried to do is get rid of as many adverbs as I possibly could and start using verbs.
That's the Elmore Leonard method. Leonard method.
He said, if it sounds like it's been written, tear it up and write it again. But
yes. I mean, Tatiana and the Russian Wolves. Russian Wolves, as we said, being the sort of the phrase for trouble and or psychic anxiety.
Morphed into insanity.
Yeah. It's a wonderful... It's a wonderful phrase, and the book
but
cover.
But wolves come into, I mean, Russian novels I've read and all this other stuff, they're generally talking about wolves.
Oh, they're always wolves. They're always wolves in
out
these
there
Russian
and,
novels.
Yeah, yeah.
They're always wolves in Russian novels. Having finished this book, I know that, in a sense, this kind of Oak Park Library next week and doing this show and doing a website, it's a chore. Is it a chore for you?
No, because my wife does most of that. I've delegated that, or she gladly took it up, knowing that I'm not very good at that. And how long have you, Steve, avoided Facebook? And you go, until about 2 weeks ago that I vaguely know how to run this thing and the rest of it. And I still have a flip phone. These little badges of courage that, you know.
But now, do you consider yourself, I know you were in a writer's group, were you not?
Yeah. Well, the trade-off there is I'll read your stuff and criticize it. You read my stuff. Because if you send stuff that's unpublished to really good friends, they generally won't read it.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
just a fact.
Did you find the reading group helpful to you?
In some cases, very good. I'd be sitting there and you're going, these three people are really good critics, and that's the reason I come. The other ones are...
These three people are idiots, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm not that harsh.
Who's your first reader? Susan, your first reader?
Yeah. Very good editor. Going through, we have a difference in punctuations, but styles.
Oh, that's minor.
That's fine.
You must be... The sense of accomplishment one feels in writing a novel, and I've interviewed dozens, if not hundreds, of novels, varies from author to author. Some are so empowered by seeing the finished product that they immediately start writing the next one.
I've started that, but it wasn't because I was getting tired of sitting around and rewriting this, and so I started with something new that would give me something else to do. I was told in high school and freshman English that you don't know how to write. And so I went out and got a style book and did it that way. And I do know how to write.
Well, there's no question about it. I mean, I was surprised because it is much more accomplished than I thought it might be, because first novels, unless you're, you know, the Bernard Malamud or something, first novels tend to be exercisers in some sort of self-indulgence, and this is not.
Yeah, and the melodrama gets pretty high on those and the rest of it. And the English sort of gets hackneyed, or you know, they didn't read the Elmore Leonard 10 points in writing, which is
really
crucial.
Which is also spectacular. Which is, I went out.
Oh, how people talk.
And oh, I know.
Heard the story? His mother phoned him one time and said, I just finished, my bridge group just started reading this book, and where do you learn such language? And he said, I'm writing about Detroit cops and gangsters. One, they talk that way. Well, you don't, do you? And he said, well, 3 years in the Navy didn't help either. And
Stephen, it's a pleasure to meet you. I have to thank Pat Hickey and Mike Houlihan for introducing us. Stephen Evans Jordan, he also, as I said, has a wonderful website, which is Stephen, with a PH, StephenEvansJordan.com.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much, and thank you very much for having me.
Oh, my God. No, I mean, I would have had you if the book was terrible, because I like Pat and Hooley, but the book is...
Well, I knew I was weighing in on that a lot.
The book is really, really good. It is titled Tatiana and the Russian Wolves, Your Wife is a Doll, and go to the website. You'll find out where he's going to be and how to order the book, and I'll be right back.